Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Amen. During this season of Epiphany, a long season as Easter's pretty late this year, we have themes of light and darkness and shadow and the celebration of God's generosity to the human family. The good news there. And it can be boiled down, this is very simplistic, but it can be boiled down to two doctrines that should appeal to believers and unbelievers, atheists and all people in between. And that is, the first doctrine is that everybody matters, which might sound pretty tame, but if you look at the world as it is now, that is a kind of far-reaching understanding. Everybody matters. And the second doctrine is that we're all in this together. And that sounds good too, but it's the other people. If I didn't have to cope with other people, I'd be fine. It's the other people that are really a bit of a nuisance. And it can be summed up in a couple of aphorisms. One is that life is not about you. Now that might not come as good news for some of you, but it is really good news that life is not about you. And therefore, even though you can admit what's going on in your life and the pain of it, there is another drama going on, the drama of God's love, which is much bigger than any story you're telling yourself about yourself. So get over yourself. And when you do that, then life begins to blossom again. James Joyce in Finnegan's Wake defined the Catholic Church as here comes everybody. And, you know, I like a bit of exclusion myself. I like a kind of little privacy, but here comes everybody. Those of you who know me, I was taught by the Anglican monks in England, and they said what we have to contend with is God's absolute lack of taste. God loves everybody. It's quite disgusting, as used to say. So the good news means actually getting off the treadmill of the self. The ego is a crafty little thing that can actually get us self-absorbed forever and ever. A rabbi friend of mine, my close friend in San Francisco, tells a story, a joke, really about the Day of Atonement in the synagogue. And the rabbi and the cantor at the head of the, here, right here, and they're beating their breasts, and the rabbi beats his breast and said, "O Lord, I am nothing. O Lord, I am nothing. O Lord, I am nothing." And the cantor takes up the refrain, "O Lord, I am nothing. O Lord, I am nothing. O Lord, I am nothing." And the janitor at the back decides, "Well, I may as well, O Lord, I am nothing. O Lord, I..." And the rabbi looks in consternation at the cantor and says, "Look at him who thinks he's nothing." So that even our low view of ourselves can be a source of pride. So a certain amount of lightness and humour is important, because the two doctrines, everybody matters and we're in this together, is deeply important. And we need to catch a glimpse of the grandeur and the absurdity of life. A friend, I forget who defined it, I think it was W.H. Auden, defined life as a very grand opera played by a 10th-rate touring company. We have this wonderful vision and yet we keep falling on our faces. And it's an exhausting demand on us to be somebody, to be... There is in the Western culture at least that sort of myth that we can be anything we want to be. And while there's a tremendous freedom in our expression of being human, we can't be anything we want to be. And that's why a lot of people in our cultures are resentful and disappointed and angry. And the Bible calls us to be righteous. Now that sounds awful, because we don't like self-righteous people, but to be righteous is to be our true selves in God. That's what it is, to be a true self, to be, understand yourself, if you will, as a gift rather than as a project, that we celebrate who you are. There is a way of identifying the silly fabrications we put together in which to hide ourselves. There's a lovely passage in a novel by Paul Scott about the British in India called The Towers of Silence. And in that novel, there's a really silly old English missionary called Barbie Batchelor. And she hangs out with the British community, but they think she's a silly old woman. and she doesn't really matter very much. But there's one character in the novel, Sarah, a young woman, who actually sees Barbie for who she is, the child of God. And Barbie reflects on the fact that she's been seen, been noticed, been taken account of. And she says, Sarah looks at my old fond and foolish face and sees through it, I think, sees below the ruination, hears behind the senseless and ceaseless chatter, sees right down to the despair, but also, and this is the great phrase, also to the terrific thing there is in me, the terrific thing there is in me, the joy I would find in God and which she would find in life, which come to much the same thing. And so if we're not careful, we sell ourselves short and don't understand the gift of the terrific thing each one of us is, what it is to be part of a community that cares for people. And this is what I want, in a way, this time of year, and thinking of the state of the world and the political upheavals and the migrations and the tragedies and the hurts. I want my soul back. I want to be able to actually see the world in a different way. So, why then have a benign view of the world at all? What comes to mind, for example, when you hear Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? I won't sing it for you because I think you probably know it. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder. You know it?
Yeah, yes.
Everybody knows it. When you sing it, what do you think about when you sang it? Do you remember how it made you feel? The philosopher Martha Nussbaum tells the story of one of her students who responded to the question in this way. He saw a sky beautifully blazing with stars and bands of bright colour, and the sight made him look in a new way at his dog, a cocker spaniel, seeing the world afresh. He said, I used to look at the dog's eyes and wonder what the dog was really thinking and feeling. Was my dog ever sad? And the way he experienced the world, I looked him in the eyes and knew that he loved me and was capable of feeling pleasure and pain. It then made me think tenderly about my mum and dad and other children I knew. So why would Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star make someone think that the starry heavens was benevolent and not malevolent? Why think your dog is loving and good rather than devilish and cruel? Who cares whether some dog is happy or sad? There are plenty of people who take pleasure in animals' pain. Yet something important's going on. The strange fact is that the nursery rhyme, I just give this as an example, nourishes a tender humanity within us and stirs up in us the prospect of friendship. What then stirs up in you a tender humanity, a forgiving humanity, an inclusive humanity where everybody matters and we're in this together? What makes this happen? And this place, where we have a table where everyone is welcome without exception, where there's enough for everybody. This is the kind of, as it were, vision of what the human project is about. This is deeply, deeply powerful and revolutionary. So, how do you look at the world? It comes as a relief, I think. I don't know about you. It comes as a relief not to find ourselves at the center of the universe. The proclamation that life is not about you is good news. And when we learn to live with that and learn to live with one another, we begin to grow in amazement at the mystery at the heart of things. Because you're seen, you're accepted, you're known, you matter. You are not a failure. Or if you are a failure, that isn't the most real thing about you. The most real thing about you is that you're known and that you're loved, who you really are. So don't sell yourself short. Allow that terrific thing inside you to be visible in your call to welcome. Sarah looks at my old fond and foolish face and sees through it, I think, sees below the ruination, hears behind the senseless and ceaseless chatter, sees right down to the despair, but also to the terrific thing there is in me, the joy I would find in God and which she would find in life, which come to much the same thing. So the good news is this, that there's a place where you are seen for what you truly are. You matter. We're in this together. The most real thing about you is that you're loved by God. St. Augustine, and I if you've been here before, and I think I say it at every Eucharist, St. Augustine held up the bread and wine and said to the congregation, be what you see, receive who you are. There's something much deeper going on in you than you know. And all that self-loathing, rejection, pride, anger, arrogance is not the most real thing about you. There is in you and in me this terrific thing. And the bread and wine are signs, gifts of that specialness. So be what you see, receive who you are. May it be so. You matter, and we're in this together. So you're stuck with me, whether you like it or not. Amen.
Amen.